The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Good morning. I want to talk to you about living the dream. I started this message last week, and I think it's important that we recognize that God has a dream for us, for each and every one of us. And what we want to do, rather than come up with our own dream, we want to recognize the dream that God has designed for us so that we can walk in His complete will and His blessings. Each one of us, you know, you've always heard people talk about living the dream. Pastor Chris used to say that all the time. When I'd ask him, how you doing, he'd say, living the dream. Well, what does it mean, living the dream? Does it mean that you're pursuing your own interests, your own desires? Does it mean you're chasing after wealth or materialism? What does it mean? You know, we all know what the American dream is. The American dream is material success. That is ultimately the American dream. However, for most of us who are in the kingdom of God, I hope that our dream is not just materialism. God wants you to prosper, absolutely. And I want us to understand what it means to have the blessings of God in our life. That's extremely important. But we need to know that just chasing after things is not going to make us happy. We want to live the dream. But what does living the dream mean for you? What does living the dream, you know, just in your day-to-day life, what's it mean? It means different things for different people. You know, everybody in here, you know that Tammy and I have acquired some animals lately. We have a little homestead that we've started. Chickens, rabbits, goats. Oh my. Just one goat. Of course, two dogs and a cat. And, you know, some people, you know, do not like that. But we love it. We enjoy it. There is a commitment every morning and every evening. We have chores that we have to do, take care of those animals. But we love our lifestyle. But that's not everybody's dream, right? But as far as we're concerned, we're living the dream. We're living what fulfills us and what we like to do. And God is not opposed to that in your life. He wants you to do things that are fulfilling in your life, that cause you to feel like you're accomplishing your overall desires. But at the same time, we got to make sure that we fit into God's, you know, God's plans. You know, Wyoming was having problems with wolves, and they put a bounty on people catching live wolves. If you brought a live wolf in, they would give you $500 for a wolf. So two old boys decided that was their ticket to fulfilling all their dreams. And they got all the equipment and everything, and they went out in the back country. They were going to camp out, and they were going to catch wolves. Well, that first night, they sat around their fire, and they talked about what they were going to do with all this money that they were going to get, and they fell asleep dreaming about their fortune. And sometime in the middle of the night, the guys' names were Bud and Jed. Bud woke up, and he noticed he was awakened by some noise, and surrounding him and Jed was a pack of about 50 wolves, snarling, growling. Bud shook Jed and said, "Wake up, Jed. We're about to be rich." Think about it a little bit. Come on. You didn't like my joke this morning. Come on. The reason I told that is because I want you to understand that our perspective on dreams is not always the same. My vision or my dream for my life what I want to accomplish is not somebody else's dream. However, within my desires, God has a purpose for me and a direction for me. So what we want to look at from the scripture is living the dream and find out what God wants to do as far as blessing his people. Last week we looked at Deuteronomy chapter 28. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28, we find the blessings that God said was going to come upon the people. You hear it every Sunday. I repeat it when I take up the offering. You're going to be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. Blessed in your kneading bowl, in your basket, when you come in, when you go out, in all the things that you do, you're going to be blessed. But there's some stipulations to that in the Old Testament. And I want us to see that God's desire is for you to be blessed. One of the things he said he wanted you to be, he wanted the children of Israel to be, and it applies to us as believers. We know that we have the blessing of Abraham. How many understand that? Amen? Okay. I got a couple people that know we have the blessings of Abraham. The rest of you need to know you have the blessing of Abraham. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. That was the first thing that we talked about. We talked about it shall come to pass. And it doesn't mean that it's just going to happen. It means that that particular Hebrew word there means to hear, listen, and obey, to apply. It'll come to pass when you apply it. And Moses believed that word was so important that he used it three times in that first verse. It was translated different ways. It shall come to pass diligently and observe. But it literally means to listen and obey. So the thing we want to talk about this morning is in Deuteronomy, once again, 28, 1 through 8, talking about these blessings. I want to talk about activating the blessings. How many want to activate the blessings of God in your life? Amen. Come on. We want these blessings. We want God's blessing on our life, every day of our life. So we need to look at his word and try to understand what it takes to activate the blessings. According to verse 1 in this passage, Deuteronomy 28, find it real quick. Deuteronomy chapter 28 verse 1 says, now it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Learn to do according to all the law. There is a stipulation here. And one of the things that we see in this stipulation is that if we do not do all the law, there is a curse. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go along. Law by Jewish tradition is divided into two areas, moral law and ceremonial law. From a Christian perspective, from Christian scholars divide those two into four, actually. Under ceremonial law, we have ceremonial and dietary law. Ceremonial law happens to be the feasts and all the temple worship and all the rituals that they went through. Dietary happens to be the clean and unclean animals and the foods that they were allowed, not allowed to eat. Under the moral law, it's the Ten Commandments and judicial law as well. Law of the land. How many know that it is very important to have the law of the land? Without the law of the land, there is chaos. We have to have that. And the reality is, many of our laws in our nation have a basis in Jewish law, in Hebrew law, in Mosaic law. For instance, our laws of murder and manslaughter have a very strong basis in Jewish law and many of our other laws. So these kind of things are very important to us as a society to understand that we do not just want to live by the Ten Commandments. If we live by the Ten Commandments, we will have strong moral basis. But there has to be other laws, righteous laws, good laws, in order for a society to function properly. There's more to it than that. And yes, we want our people to base their lifestyle on the moral laws of God. And we want to be able to have a judicial system that we can go to and know that there will be justice for all people. Amen? I hope that that continues, that we have justice for all people in our nation. We want that to be the case. But as believers in Jesus Christ, we have a responsibility. And that is to walk according to the law of God. And the only time that we should rebel against the moral or the judicial laws of the land is when they encroach upon or break the moral laws of God. Amen? For instance, if they would come in, if it would become mandatory for pastors to marry people of same sex, I would have to say, I'll break that law. Not because I look forward to going to jail or being fined or anything else, but because it breaks God's moral laws. And there are some things in our society that we have to take that kind of stand against. However, we are living in a fallen world. And most of the things that we must do as believers in Jesus Christ have to do with us individually rather than with our society or our world. When we walk outside of the church, and I'm talking about believers in Jesus Christ, and we have to make decisions based on things that are out in the world, our decision and our judgment on people should be totally different than it is inside the church of Jesus Christ. We have moral laws that operate in the church, standards that we have to walk by and live by. And we want the world to be blessed, but sometimes they make decisions that bring condemnation and destruction upon them. All we can do is try to guide them in the right direction. My preaching, my teaching says Jesus is the Son of God. You need Him in your life. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means, repent means to turn completely from your wicked ways, whatever your sin is. That's the only way to the kingdom. And when people come into the kingdom, then we have a right and a responsibility to try to guide and direct their life. I can speak into my brother's life that if he is doing something wrong morally, I have a responsibility as his pastor to say, wait a minute, brother. Amen. Amen. Right? Amen. I don't have that right to the people out there until they receive Christ as their personal Savior. That's good, Pastor. Amen. I know we don't hear this kind of preaching in the kingdom, but this is reality. This is where we're living. This is what has happened. We are in a post-Christian nation right now. And we have to conduct ourselves in such a way. Stand for the Word of God always, wherever we go. And that means that our responsibility to fallen people is to try to bring them to Christ, not try to direct their morality or their morals. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me this morning. I'm not condoning anything that the Supreme Court has done and what's happening in our society. Not at all. I'm just saying it's happened, and we better learn to deal with it in a godly way. That means we stand on principles that come from the Word of God, not on our own principles and our own bias. Look, the Jewish law, according to the things that was established by Moses, the Ten Commandments and all the other laws, the judicial laws that were established, there were 613 laws that the Jewish people had to live by. Praise, you know, thank, I wish that we had 613 laws that we had to live by today. However, here's what happened in Jewish culture. The rabbis became so concerned that people were going to break the law that they started building fences around God's law. And they started saying, you can't do this or you'll get too close to the law and you might break the law. So they were, in their minds, they were protecting people from breaking the law. But they built up these obligations to people, these religious ceremonies and religious laws. Here's one that they built up that is so ridiculous, I don't see how anybody could live by it. But on the Sabbath day, to keep from breaking the Sabbath law of work, you could not walk more than 5.98 tenths of a mile. And you had to keep, if the rabbis saw you and they believed you walked more, you were going to be punished for it. Now that was from your home or from a city that you lived in. So on the Sabbath, there was, and that's just one of the ridiculous laws that they had about the Sabbath. The Sabbath, these things they just kept pouring them on and making them harder and more difficult. It's the same thing that happens in the Church of Jesus Christ today. We begin establishing our laws rather than living by God's law. And we build up these things that make it too difficult for people to be able to come into the kingdom. We think you have to dress a certain way, act a certain way, talk a certain way. Listen, you get some people that are coming into this church that are just being saved out of the world, and you're going to hear some language you probably don't want to hear.
That's right.
Should we condemn those people? No. We need to embrace them, teach them, train them. That's my desire. I hope we have people like that coming in the doors. So here's what I want to say. What did Jesus say? Lots of people say, well, Jesus did away with the law. But let's see what Jesus said about the law. Look with me in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 17. 17 and 18 is all we're going to read. Do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till it is all fulfilled. Jesus himself said, I didn't come to destroy. Now, the Greek word here, kaleto, literally means to loosen down or by extension, to overflow or to invalidate. Jesus said, I didn't come to invalidate the law. I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to complete the law. And he completed the law by fulfilling the obligations that were necessary through the judicial part of the law and the ceremonial part of the law. So does that mean that we should do away with all the law? No, he just completed it. He fulfilled it so that as believers in Jesus Christ, we're not bound by silly laws, but we're free in Christ, because those who are free in Christ are free indeed to worship and live the way God wants us to live. Jesus said, I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Galatians 3:10 says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Under the curse. Here's what I want you to understand. If you didn't do all the law in the Old Testament, you were under the curse. The Word of God tells us we are not under the curse. We may make some mistakes, but we're not under the curse. We are free because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 10:4 says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. It's the completion of the law to righteousness. The condition of being acceptable to Almighty God. Christ fulfilled the demands of the Mosaic Law, which called for perfect obedience to the law. Perfect obedience. What we have now today in our life is freedom in Jesus Christ. Now, does that give us freedom to do as we please? No, Paul wrote and he told us completely, no, you can't live that way. You have certain moral standards. We still have the moral standards that we're supposed to live by. But if you make mistakes or you do wrong, guess what? We are covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen. Not immediately put under the curse. Yes. That's freedom in Jesus Christ. Yes. You should be excited when we say things like that. Absolutely. And understand the freedom that we have. Yes. Yes. You who believe in Christ are free from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us from the curse, Galatians tell us. We who are in Christ do not have to worry about coming under the curse of the law. You all remember the story of the prodigal son. Jesus told us the story of the son who, the younger son who wanted to go off and live his own way. He wanted his inheritance, and he basically was very rude to his father. His father could have, according to Jewish law, he could have had him taken out and stoned. But instead, he loved him so much that he let him go off, gave him his inheritance, and let him go off and do his own thing. And the Bible says he went off to Las Vegas and partied. He found every woman that wanted to party with him, that would party with him. He partied with her. He found everything he could party with, every friend he had he could gain out there. He partied with them. He partied everywhere. He took all his money and partied day in and day out. Come on. Until his money was gone. And when it was all gone, no one wanted to party with him anymore. He was the source of the party. If we are the source of the party in our life, we're in trouble. Yes. If you're the source of your party, you're in big, big trouble. God has to be the source of your party.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Well, he found out what it was like to not have any money, not have any resources, to not have the Father there with him, because he had separated. The Father didn't separate from him. He had separated from the Father. And what happened? You all know that he was feeding pigs. He was wallowing with the pigs. And he got so hungry that he didn't have anything to eat, so he ate pig food. Had to be pretty nasty. But suddenly he came to his senses and he went back to his father. He said, I'm going to go back to my father. And he rehearsed all the way home what he was going to do. What he was going to say to his father. And how he was going to apologize to his father. But guess what? The father saw him coming. And what did he do? He ran out and embraced him. And he didn't give him a chance to apologize. He didn't give him a chance to tell him why or what was going on. To get any words out, basically, he said, just come, my son is back, kill a fatted calf, give him a ring, put a robe on him, I love him. God is looking for his people to run back to him.
Yes. Amen.
no matter how far we get. He wants us to come running back. But here's the point I really want to make in this whole thing. Is that after all this happened, after he came home and he started partying with the Father, man, there's nothing like having a party with the Father. I've done my partying in the past. And it's not fulfilling until you party with the Father. I'm telling you. That's what it's all about. But they had this big party. And the older son didn't like it. Listen carefully. The older son did not like what was going on. This is really the whole point to Jesus' story here. The father noticed that the older son was upset and he asked him what was going on. And the older son said, I've stayed here with you. I've been faithful to you. And you didn't kill a fatted calf for me. You didn't put a robe on me. You didn't give me a ring. And here's what the father said. He said, listen, it's all been yours all along. You've had access to it. You could have had anything you ask. You just didn't. The father is saying to us, we have access to his blessings. Are we going to access those blessings? Or are we just going to be like that older son and pout, run around and pout? Well, God, you're not doing this or you're not doing that. Many times the reason we're not blessed is because we're not walking by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's believing without seeing.
Yeah.
And I don't care what you're going through in your life, what is happening, unless you stand on faith based on the Word of God, you're not going to receive that blessing. It's yours. It's all yours. You are blessed in the country. You are blessed in the city. I like being blessed in the country because that's where I am. Amen. Otis and Ivy are in the city. Praise God. They're blessed in the city.
Amen.
Not much of a city, but it's a city. Blessed when you go in and blessed when you go out. Blessed in your kneading bowl, in your basket. You know what? That's your finances. That's the things you do. Whatever you put your hands to will be blessed. When we walk by faith, we activate the blessings of God in our life. It may not look like you're being blessed at this time, but stand on the Word of God and trust God. You are His child. You are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. You are the child of the Most High God. You are kings and priests in the kingdom of God. How do you think a king and a priest would be treated? They're royalty. They're treated like royalty. That's what God wants for you. But sometimes you just have to access it. We're not accessing the things of God. I know sometimes I don't access everything that God has given me. And I want to learn to access it. There's something in my life that I recognize this principle of being able to having something, but having to access it. Because in my house, which is just several hundred feet from my mom's house, and my brother, who lives not too far from my mom, we live in this little community of our own. And in this community, my mom's house is in the center. My brother's building a house behind us. So we all have mom here in the center. And mom is the source of all things. I'm telling you. I call it, I don't know what everybody else calls it, but I call it Mom's Mart. If you need something, you can go to Mom and she has it. She buys special things for us. She buys honey buns for me and Mountain Dew, I mentioned that last week. She's always got something that I know is for me. But let me tell you something. Here's the way our household works and her household works, because I learned it from her. And that is, if it's mine, it belongs to my children. If it's mine, my kids know. If it's in the refrigerator, they can come and get it. They don't have to ask me. They just access it. It's there. My son knows that if he needs to use my zero turn, there it is. He can use it. And he does. The things that we have belong to our children. The things that God has belongs to you, His children. Man, you can go in and get all the honey buns you want in the kingdom of God. They're all yours. But we must learn to access these things. And we access them by faith in the Word of God. If you have a need, you have a situation in your life, let me tell you what to do. Go to the Word of God. Find out what the Word says. Read that Scripture. Get all the Scriptures you can get about your situation. And believe your Word. Believe the Word of God. Place your faith in the Word of God. Over and over. Repeat those Scriptures. That's what builds faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Let those Scriptures rise up inside of you. And let the Word of God become real to you, so that you can access those blessings that God has for you. Access the blessings. Now let me tell you something. I talked a little bit about law and how important I believe that law is. Particularly morality. If we do not have morality in our land, and I'm talking about objective morality. I'm talking about a morality that is something outside of the individual. Because you see, there's a great debate going on all over our land whether subjective morality is the kind of morality that we should have. And subjective morality is merely personal morality. And that means that I get to make my judgment on what morality should be in my life. Pastor Otis gets to make his. You know, every individual in here can decide whether what kind of morality they need to live by. Now, listen to me. If we go in that direction in our nation, and we have gone somewhat in that direction, we will see chaos. Because just like in the Old Testament where it says that every man did what was right in his own eyes, that's what's going to happen. Doing right in your own eyes. We have to have objective morality. We have to have something outside of ourselves. You see, there's going to be some sort of morality in our land. Whether that morality is established by atheists, by humanists, by Satanists, or by Christians, there's going to be a morality of some sort. There's going to be something outside of every individual that people are going to have to live by. Otherwise, society completely breaks down. The question is, who is going to set the standard? What morality do we live by? Our standard is the best standard. I'm biased in that, I know. But our standard is the Word of God. That's where we get our morality from. And if we live based on the Word of God, then our lives will be fulfilled. We'll have a peaceful society and peaceful communities and peaceful life where we can seek and serve the living God. But if we let other people establish morality for us, what morality should be, we will be a miserable nation, a miserable people. There's no doubt about it. Dr. Ravi Zacharias is a nationally known, worldwide known minister, preacher, teacher. And he goes to universities and presents the gospel. And in one of his presentations, after he was done, one of the students stood up and said, asked him a question. He said, "I just want to ask you a question." He said, "Okay, go ahead." He said, "I want to know, why are you so afraid of subjective morality?" Dr. Zacharias didn't hesitate. He said, "Do you lock your doors at night?" The student said, "Yes." He said, "Then you're afraid of subjective reality, of morality. Because if you do not fear subjective morality, you don't understand it. That means that that guy out there who believes it's his moral right to break into your house, take your goods, kill your family, is okay. That's what subjective morality is all about. Everybody making their own decisions. We have a basis for our morality. We have a basis for our blessings. We have a basis for recognizing that we can receive and walk in the prosperity that God wants for His people. It's God's Word. And if we apply that to our life on a regular basis, I can guarantee you, you will see the blessings of God in your life. Absolutely. Real quick, I'm going to wrap this up. The last thing, Deuteronomy 28. Let's look at verse 2. Go back to Deuteronomy. "And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." Look over at verse 8. "And the Lord will command the blessings on you in your storehouse and in all to which you set your hands. And He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you." First of all, it says the blessings are going to come upon you and overtake you. And God's going to command those blessings. If you understand the Word of God and apply the Word of God to your life. Now, I want you to realize that it goes on in verse 15. It talks about the curses that are going to come upon you. You have been redeemed from the curse. So we don't even have to worry about that. What we want to focus on is how can we access the blessings of God in our life? And that is by living the Word of God. If we live the Word of God, and we walk in the Word of God, it says the blessings are going to chase us down and overtake us. You don't have to do anything. Stop chasing after the blessings. Too many people in the body of Christ today are chasing after the blessings. We're chasing after the materialism. We're chasing after finances. We're chasing after these things in life. I'm not telling you that they're all wrong. I'm telling you that if that's what you're chasing after, you are going to reap what you sow. And that's not going to be a good thing. Yeah. Jesus said, He told us that what we need to do is seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. So if we seek after God, He's promised that He's going to take care of us. And that word I just read to you says that if we're doing that, guess what? I'm just going to be walking along and suddenly the blessings of God come upon me.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
We have a puppy and a cat, a little cat. And they play together. They sleep together. They act like best friends. And sometimes that puppy will just be walking along, minding his own business, and that cat starts to stalk him. And she sneaks around, and as the puppy's going along, suddenly she'll just pounce on him, jump right on his back, and they'll start playing around. Praise God. That's what God said is going to happen to you if you follow His Word. You'll just be minding your own business, going about doing God's will, God's Word in your life, and suddenly the blessings of God will come upon you. Praise God. That's what we need in our lives. But remember, that's where we come to recognizing the principle of sowing and reaping. The Galatians tells us, whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Those principles are alive and well in the body of Christ today. That's why it's so important that you are sowing the good seed constantly. When you first become a believer in Jesus Christ, or you first start hearing this kind of preaching, that just sowing, what you sow is what you're going to reap, you have to start sowing for a while the good seed in your life. Because I can tell you this from experience, that it took a while after I became a believer in Christ to start sowing good seed and seeing that seed spring up in my life. Because I had sown so much bad seed that I still had to reap for a while the bad things. But man, it was good. Because I understood that principle of sowing and reaping, I could look out into the future and say, man, God, I know that I'm reaping some bad things right now. But in the future, my future, I can see the good. I can see it springing up. I can see it overtaking me. I can see it coming into my life. And that's what we got. Listen, you may have sown some bad seed right now. Stop it. Get away from it. And begin to sow proper seed. Sow good seed. This is, listen, we tie this to finance so much, but there is so much more to it. It applies to your workplace. It applies to your relationship. It applies to your family. It applies to your whole life. Sow properly in your life. Stand with me. How many have heard of the 100 Things Challenge? Anybody heard of it? It's a gentleman by the name of Dave Bruno who has issued a challenge to believers because he believes that people have too much stuff. And stuff gets in our way. Stuff clutters our life. So he has issued a challenge to believers to whittle your life down to 100 things. 100 possessions. Now, he's an entrepreneur, he's a successful guy, but he recognizes how cluttered his life has become. And there's testimony after testimony of people who have taken this challenge and how it's set them free from some of the stress that they had in their life. 100 things in your life. If you want to read more about it, you could go to 100 Thing Challenge. Google that and you'll find it. But I know this, that as believers in Jesus Christ, we have a responsibility, and that is to be about the work of the kingdom of God. And our lives sometimes become way too cluttered, not just with stuff, but responsibilities and directions and children and all kinds of stuff that we have to deal with. I just want to draw you back. I want to keep bringing you back. I want you to have the right compass to establish your life by. Bring you back to the Word of God. Keep recognizing, yeah, you know, sometimes we get off track. But let's get back. Let's get back to where we need to be with the Lord. I'm going to ask everybody to bow your head. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask our prayer warriors to come up. If you need prayer this morning, we'll be up here to pray for you. If you'd like to have healing prayer directly after the service, you can come up for that. you have any need in your life, anything, we want to pray for you. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe God answers prayer. So please don't hesitate. This morning as I wrap this service up, if you'd just like for me to pray for you, bow your head. If you'd like for me to pray for you that, you know, Pastor, I know that there are some things in my life that are out of focus. I need to focus more on the kingdom. There's no condemnation here. I can raise my hand this morning and say, there are some things. God, I just want to focus. I want to get my focus on you and on your kingdom. Because I know, Lord, that not only do I please you, but that's where the blessings are. If you want me to pray for you, just raise your hand. We're going to pray together. Hallelujah. Lord God, thank you, Lord. Yes, thank you. Thank you. Father God, each and every person that raised their hand this morning, I know they're sincerely desiring to hear from you. They want to get their focus back on your kingdom and know how important it is to walk and fulfill the kingdom of God and seek first that kingdom. Lord, not only do I ask that you help them to seek first your kingdom, but as they do, we claim your word, Lord, that those blessings for their life will chase them down. They'll stalk them and overtake them and jump on them like your word says. Thank you, Father God, that we can claim that for our life in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Have an awesome day. Praise God. Anybody who'd like to have healing prayer, please come forward.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope this message has touched you in some way. Our purpose and desire for these podcasts is to edify believers and share the good news of salvation in Christ. If you'd like to receive Christ as your Savior today, look up Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It makes it very simple. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. If you'd like more information on salvation, visit our website at bethelwc.org. We have a section that explains it in more detail. If you confess Christ for the first time today, welcome to the family, and we would love to hear from you. Be blessed.